Evaluating residents is about more than benchmarking performance. Evaluation is an opportunity to shape the resident experience so that residents get the most enriching time in residency possible and finish the program prepared to provide excellent care for patients and populations. In this episode, Dr. Sarah Turbo, Associate Program Director at Emory University, details both the mechanics and purpose of an evaluation program and how evaluation can help prepare residents for success. As a program director, what are you seeking to accomplish by evaluating residents? How do evaluations help you as an educator beyond just, you know, assigning grades or something like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So let's just take a step back and kind of define evaluation first. So evaluation has a couple of goals. Like you said, first, the goal is to determine how well the resident is performing and if they're meeting expectations for their training level. And then it also allows you to assess the teaching and the curriculum and can help you identify where your curriculum needs to be improved. When we're talking about evaluating learners, there's sort of two main types of evaluations. There's formative evaluations and summative evaluations. We often think of formative evaluations as like more informal. It's kind of the feedback that you would get from a preceptor after a day of clinic or time working together. And these are more qualitative. They're focused on your current strengths and weaknesses. And the goal of them is to guide your learning moving forward. Summative evaluations are more often thought of as kind of formal feedback that you might get at the end of a rotation. And the goal of these is to synthesize the learner's performance over the course of the rotation or another defined period. Goals of learner evaluations include, you know, letting the learner know how they're doing, where their strengths are, and where they need to focus their efforts for improvement. Learners have limited time. It's very helpful for them to hear, hey, you're really good at X. Y, I think you could spend a little more time. And so when they go home and study that night or on the weekend, they know, okay, I really need to focus on Y, and I can not focus so much of my energy on X. When we also, as a program, get that information from the preceptor or the feedback giver, it helps us to determine if learners need extra support or remediation in any specific areas. Or if a learner's not on track to advance to the next training year, or if there's other concerns, you know, things like burnout or other mental health or professionalism concerns. Evaluations can also give us a day-to-day perspective of a resident's strengths. You know, in program leadership, we might only see the resident in limited circumstances, things like didactics or the classroom. So we don't get to see how wonderful they are in other settings, you know, like clinical settings. I love hearing from learners about their, you know, perspective on how things are going, but it really helps to have that other perspective too. And then finally, qualitative comments from preceptors can also be used in letters of recommendation that you as program leadership will write for the learners. And then, you know, just also passing them along to the residents. It's a nice thing to do. It makes them feel good when they get good comments. And so, as I mentioned, these evaluations of residents can also help you identify gaps in teaching or curriculum. So, for example, if all the residents are getting feedback that there's a gap in their knowledge, that should be a signal to you that more formal teaching in that area is needed. And ideally, residents will also have a chance to evaluate the rotation and the program. And those are very, very useful for educators to get feedback on their performance and potential areas for improvement. And practically, you know, just again, thinking about like life of a faculty member, you do need to include teaching evaluations in your promotion packet. And so having the program be able to supply volunteer faculty as well as program leadership with their evals is another way that we can support our faculty and leadership in their advancing their career goals.
So is there a standard set of metrics or measurements that residents are evaluated by? I know you mentioned that there's certainly a large component of it that's relatively qualitative, but is there a standard evaluation system that programs use, or is this something that you develop within the program to program based on the specific curricula, rotations, or kind of educational focus of that residency program?
Yeah, so it does vary somewhat by program, but I think that there's some commonalities across many programs. So ACGME has designated 6 core competencies of physician practice. Those are patient care, medical knowledge, interpersonal and communication skills, professionalism, practice-based learning and improvement, and systems-based practice. And those are often used as kind of the framework for assessment of trainees. So this year, as the listeners probably know, ACGME introduced Milestones 2.0, which structure the core competencies into more specialty-specific domains and tasks and topics. So many programs use the milestones to kind of structure and guide their evaluations. I think I'm very pro qualitative feedback as well, both formative and summative. And I think it's really absolutely crucial. And so we want to make sure that preceptors have opportunities to provide qualitative comments to both the program and the resident. And part of the reason for that is that not all strengths and areas for improvement can be captured within the milestones framework.
Okay. And how frequently do you do these check-ins? Is this something that you're seeking feedback every week from program sites, from residents? Is this a monthly process, quarterly, or is this something that, you know, only happens formally once a year?
Yeah. So every program is going to vary somewhat. I think the most important thing is to make it clear to both preceptors and residents that their feedback is welcome at any time and through whatever channel they see fit. So for example, if a preceptor has a concern about a resident, they shouldn't feel that they have to wait until the end of their time with that resident to let the program know. They should be empowered and know how to contact the program as soon as the problem is identified. And I think this is especially important for preventive medicine when we might only have a resident for a year. If the preceptor identifies a problem on day one and they wait till day 30 to tell us, that's a month that we've lost that we could be working with the resident to fix that problem. And again, the same goes for residents. You know, we never want a resident to feel that they have to wait until their formal twice a year meeting with the program director to air concerns. We want to hear about it as soon as it's a concern. So open communication is essential. In terms of formal evaluations or summative evaluations, those do usually occur at predetermined time periods. I think it's usually the end of the rotation. And for PrevMed, a lot of times rotations could be as short as 1 month, but they can actually be much longer as well, especially for public health rotations and other things. Balancing that feedback frequency with burden on the preceptor is really important. So a lot of times it'll just be once at the end for formal feedback. We encourage residents to ask for formative feedback along the way, whether it's by setting a weekly check-in with a preceptor or some other means. Because again, you know, you don't want the resident to think they're doing fine only to get to the end of the rotation and have the preceptor say, oh, I wish you had done X, Y, and Z differently. You know, that's terrible for a learner. Because our learners, they're there to learn. They want to do well. They have so many skills. And it's only fair to give them the opportunity to succeed. And sometimes that requires feedback. The other thing I just wanted to reiterate about the frequency is really just being considerate of faculty time and the administrative burden of feedback as well. So I think I mentioned that, but I wanted to just make sure that was driven home.
How much impact does feedback have on the direction of a residence trainee? Is that, right, if they receive feedback on a specific area that they need to work on this one thing, does that mean there's some additional mentoring that's added in that particular area? Or does that mean that the program team starts looking for an entirely different rotation that they think would be particularly beneficial for that resident? I guess, what level of impact does that feedback have on the program?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it largely depends on what is the feedback and sort of which of the core competency it's related to. You know, if it's related to medical knowledge, for example, then there might be opportunities set up for that resident to receive more kind of one-on-one mentoring or teaching on a focused area, or they might be set up with additional learning resources to enhance their knowledge in that area. Things that are a little harder to address are things like communication skills and professionalism. And so a lot of times that will if it's serious enough feedback, if it's critical, you know, critical enough, it could lead to the implementation of sort of a individualized improvement plan where you sit down with the resident and make a plan for how we're going to address these things. You create kind of specific checkpoints or milestones with the understanding that, you know, if these things are egregious and do not improve, that could result in, you know, further remediation, not being promoted to the next year of residency, or even being asked to leave. That is obviously the last resort. You know, I think generally programs do everything in their power because that's what we're here for. We are here to help these residents be the best public health and general preventive medicine practitioners they can be. And sometimes people just need a little extra help, but you know, you need to hear the feedback and respond to it, and then help the resident respond to it too.
Are there unique challenges for remote rotations, right? So your program is based in university, but the resident is rotating through a local health department. That kind of literal physical distance between where the resident is training and where the program is based and where the core residency team is, that makes feedback and evaluation particularly difficult? And what can you do to mitigate some of those challenges?
Yeah, definitely. So I think that you really hit the nail on the head with one of the unique challenges related to public health and general preventive medicine training, is that because we have such an amazing range of rotation sites like public health departments, that there's a range of preceptors. So if you think about a more traditional clinical residency, the majority of people who are evaluating the residents are going to be clinicians. That doesn't mean that they're expert evaluators or great at feedback, but it does mean that they might have a more hands-on understanding of what the expectations of the resident are for their level. But I think that because we have such a range of preceptors, it means that the overall approach to things like the clinical competencies, the milestones, just maybe less familiar to some of our preceptors. And so I think there's a couple things that you can do as a program to make sure that you get high quality evals from what I'll call kind of non-traditional evaluators. And the first thing is to orient them. It can be as simple as a conversation or a guideline document to as much sort of formal training or faculty development and evaluation and feedback that you can offer them. Second is you can do what you can to make it easy for them to do the evaluations, sending them the eval form early so they can sort of fill it in over time, making sure there's an option for them to skip questions or mark them not applicable if they don't apply to their rotation or if they're not sure how to evaluate a particular milestone. And additionally, again, qualitative comments are super important, making sure that there's a box for qualitative comments. Because really, no matter who you are or what your comfort level is with the more kind of structured milestones evaluation, you can describe what you observed and whether the learner met your expectations or not. And then finally, programs can actually give preceptors feedback on their evals, which might sound a little much, but I actually do think it's worth it. And so the easiest and quickest way to do this is a time when preceptors come together as a group, like the Residency Clinical Competency Committee. So even something along the lines of just saying, thank you so much for your evaluations. The qualitative comments in particular are helpful. You know, that signals to the preceptors that their efforts are noted and appreciated, and that you say like, yeah, these qualitative comments are really, really useful. And that tells them, you know, this is where I can spend more time on the eval.
Is there anything else that we haven't covered yet that you've learned in your time working with residents that is particularly helpful for both conducting evaluations, but also making sure that they're as useful as possible for furthering the resident's education and, you know, providing guidance for the program on what the residents need to be learning and focusing on?
Yeah. So the first thing is just to understand that, you know, a strong evaluation program really, really benefits the residents. I'm sure everybody listening at one point or another has received the feedback, great job, keep reading, from a preceptor, which is like the most worthless feedback. The resident hasn't gained any knowledge about what they did well or specific instructions on where to improve. And so trying to move your evaluators to specific, actionable feedback, ideally grounded in observations and anecdotes. You know, great job, keep reading is nothing compared to when Dr. Smith was assisting with a monkeypox outbreak. He had a challenging phone call with a community member. He handled it wonderfully with professionalism. I was so impressed at his ability to stay calm and talk the person through their concerns. You know, it's like that is so much more informative to the resident and the program than a generic, nonspecific eval. And I do think the other thing to think about with feedback and evaluation is it is really practice makes progress. You know, giving especially critical formative feedback can be challenging, but ultimately it's time well spent for both the resident and the program. And so there might be times where preceptors, especially, you know, that quote unquote non-traditional preceptor, they might not feel comfortable giving that feedback. And so thinking through how your program can support them in giving that feedback, maybe it's a joint meeting, maybe it's, you know, them writing it down and you passing it along to the learner, you know, just making sure that the learners hear the feedback that they need to hear. And then there are opportunities to do feedback training. You know, a lot of institutions might offer faculty development and evaluation and feedback. And then their ACP, the American College of Physicians, has a nice book series about teaching. There's one book about called Teaching in Your Office, and then the other one is called, I think, Teaching in the Hospital. And they have some chapters about feedback that are really useful. So, and most medical libraries, universities, I would imagine, have those to check out as well.
Is there anything else you'd like to share, or any other resources that you would like to point new and incoming program directors to?
Two more resources. So one is a website. It's the University of Washington GME office. They have a really excellent webpage with just tons of resources about the milestones, feedback, specific approaches for evaluation, which include direct observation, end of rotation evals, semi-annual review documents. And we can maybe put the link on the page or in the notes.
Absolutely.
And then the other one is MedEd Portal. And if listeners aren't familiar with MedEd Portal, it's a open access online peer-reviewed journal for medical education materials, so curricula, evaluation tools. And it's free. You do have to, I think, have a register, but it's free to access. And it's just a really great resource to see what others have done. Sometimes it is a little more specialty specific, but again, I think that you can adapt a lot of stuff from other specialties to preventive medicine. And so I would encourage other folks to look there if they have kind of specific issues, like how do I evaluate X, or I need to remediate a resident on Y. The MedEd portal would be a good place to look to see if somebody's done that and then published an approach.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for your time today, for sharing your knowledge and experience with us.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.